us. We're thankful for the Schmidt family leading us in worship this morning as we've just exalted and blessed the name of the Lord. So, Father God, as we now open the scriptures, Lord, as an act of worship, of hungering and thirsting after you, and Lord, with a willingness to obey you and follow you and serve you, Lord, we pray, speak to us. Lead us, guide us, and shape us in this Easter weekend, Lord, and in these days in which we live and the life that, Lord God, we have to honor you. So guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles. Let's read the resurrection story from Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Beginning at verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." On this morning, when Christians all over the world have celebrated together, because we're kind of on the tail end of the time zone, we're some of the last to be doing it, but brothers and sisters in the Lord have worshiped God and celebrated the resurrection on this morning around the world. And as we're here this morning, I want to take a few minutes to look at some scriptures that are encouragement to us. And of specific focus, I want to look at the words of Jesus in verse 10, when he said to those who there were at the tomb, he said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." This is a message I believe the Lord wants to just soak into our hearts in this day and in this hour and in this time in history in which we live. Do not be afraid. There is no other story. There is no other hope than the one that we have in Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, and buried, but then risen on the third day. This is a message which gives us the ability to not be controlled by any other fear than the fear of the Lord. So let's look at some verses that talk about that. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Of the many passages in Scripture, Hebrews 2 is a wonderful chapter that encapsulates much of what the gospel message declares to us. I'm going to pick a few verses out of this chapter. Beginning in verse 3, says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" Go down to verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who suffers, or he who sanctifies, and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them his brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And I said, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am, the children whom God has given me. And then verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the world. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. May God bless his word to us this morning as we listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us. This morning, on this Easter morning, we live and wait in anticipation of Jesus Christ's return. Jesus' return, which was prophesied so much in Scripture and was clearly spoken on the day when Jesus ascended back into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, it says, now when Jesus had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, these are angels, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. The promise of Jesus' return is coming ever closer. But like those here in the crucifixion account, when they saw Jesus' body put into the tomb on that dreadful, sober, and shocking Friday afternoon, they returned back to their places, and on that Saturday, they waited. They waited. A day of rest, a day of worship, but a day of shock and horror, not knowing that on the first day of the week, when they went with the expectation that they were only going to complete the burial process, the wrapping, the spices, the ointment on the body of Jesus, to their sudden surprise, the story had changed, was completely altered. The stone was rolled away. And the angel said to them, as we find in the Gospel of Luke, why do you seek the living among the dead? We have been living in a 2,000-year span of waiting. But we're not waiting for the stone to be rolled away. We're waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And just like those followers of Jesus prepared to go to the tomb on that first day of the week, we also are living a life of preparation. Preparation for our Lord's return. So how should we live? What should be our focus? And especially, how can we be obedient to the word of God when Jesus said to the followers on that resurrection morning, do not be afraid. When fear seems to be gripping so many people, how can we be saints, followers of Christ, in anticipation of yet the Lord's return that we don't know when he's coming? How can we live a life without fear? Can I share with you a few basics of this gospel message, and especially as we've read here in the book of Hebrews chapter 2? Here's the first. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to continue for each one of us to live with an attitude and a willingness to have a transformed mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Brothers and sisters, never give up allowing the Lord to keep changing the way you think about life. And if you have fears, if you live with fear of any kind, it means the Lord has not finished transforming your thinking. Because Jesus told us, do not be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Do you lay awake at night worried about anything? Do you lay at night worrying about finances or your family or circumstances or situations? I believe it's a sign, an indication to all of us, we're not finished in the transformation of our mind. Because Jesus, by the word of God and by the presence of his Spirit, wants us to be so confident in him. Secondly, while we wait the Lord's return, we are encouraged to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, while we wait the Lord's return, we clear everything from what's in our heart so that we can increase our capacity for the presence of the Spirit of God to shape us and guide us. May the Lord open our hearts to him. In this world of fear and confusion, the gospel of Jesus Christ alone offers us this hope, this truth, and this filling that we might live shameless lives of faith and encouragement. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Last evening, Gail and I were watching several Easter worship services from various parts of the world, and they were worship services from very humble locations to very fancy productions of worship. But you know, it really doesn't matter how humble or how elaborate. The real issue is what's in our hearts. Are we worshiping the Lord with a heart full of thankfulness and gratefulness, but also with the reality that this message, this God that we worship, has given us the gospel, which only alone is the power of God unto salvation? It's the greatest story in all the world of Jesus' death. So, with that, I want to share a few things that I believe are the encouragement of the gospel that we can live and share to the world around us. If you were here on Good Friday morning, I talked about how from Psalm 139, the Lord knows everything about our lives. Nothing is hidden from his sight. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." And as I shared on Friday morning, the knowledge that God knows you, that God knows the true you, the deepest you, all your secrets, all your struggles, all your temptations, all your distractions, God knows you deeply, deeply, deeply. That can be a disconcerting thing, except for the fact we know that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for every one of those sins, every one of those struggles, every one of those addictions. Jesus already knows. And so the introduction, the heart of the gospel is that God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Nothing in your life has not been covered by the blood of Jesus. You do not need to be afraid this morning. You do not need to live in shame. You don't need to be like Adam and Eve, hiding in the trees, sewing fig leaf clothes. It won't work anyhow. You can be totally honest before the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 2. There is an illustration here in Colossians that I probably have already referred to here over the years, but I bring it to your attention again this morning because it's one illustration that just so blesses my heart and I trust will be a blessing to you. Colossians chapter 2. And I'm only going to read just this one verse here, or verse 13. It says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you some trespasses." Is that what it says? All your trespasses. If you ever write in your Bible, that will be a great little three-letter word to circle. Having forgiven you all your trespasses. That's total inclusive. But then verse 14, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." I understand in Bible times that when you would borrow money from someone or lease something from someone, a contract would be written up on parchment. And the borrower would hold that contract over your head until you had fully repaid back the total debt that you had incurred. But when you had finally paid the last payment, the creditor would take that document and in a public place, they would nail it so that everyone could see. All the people passing by could see this fresh parchment nailed in a public place, and they could read the lines, "Oh, Fred is finally debt-free." How do we know all of our transgressions are paid? What public square do we walk by to see the debt has been paid in full? It's when we look to the cross. As Jesus was nailed to the cross and those spikes went through his arms and his feet, it's as if we could look to that cross and by faith in what Jesus Christ said, did for us, we can say, "My debt is paid." And if anyone comes along, including the devil, and says, "You still owe something to God for your forgiveness," what do we point to? The cross. The cross. And we can say, "It's paid. My Savior hung in my place." So there's the first aspect of the gospel that sets us free from fear. Second, there is now no more fear of judgment. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ will never hold our sins in judgment against us in terms of our entrance into eternal life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Love is being perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." And then 1 John 2:28. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Thirdly, because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for us, we have no more fear of death. Do not be afraid. No more fear of death. Oh, we love that passage in John chapter 11 when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, already now there for 4 days. And yet he says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? When John the Apostle on the island of Patmos had the revelation of Jesus Christ come to him in that last book of the Bible, chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "And when I, John, saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death.'" Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, "With all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain." For those who haven't heard this story before, Smith Wigglesworth, a dignified man of evangelism and of preaching back at the turn of the 20th century, one time was accosted by someone with a dagger and threatened him. And Smith Wigglesworth says to this man, "Are you threatening me with heaven?" There is no fear of death. Do not be afraid. For as Jesus Christ conquered death, and we believe in him and abide in him, brothers and sisters, when the day comes, whether it's soon or whether it's still years ahead, don't be afraid of death. For in Christ we have the hope of resurrection. In Christ we will be set free. And so with those hopes, nothing is hidden, no fear of judgment, filled with the Spirit of God, no fear of death, we can now live our lives today and each day knowing that fear of any kind can be replaced by the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus and his Spirit amongst us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm so thankful today that as we worship on this Easter Sunday, we can live fearless lives. There is no more fear of living in these last days as we abide in the resurrection power of Christ. Now, the followers of Jesus in those 3 short days, from the time that Jesus was crucified until they came to the empty tomb, they lived almost a lifetime of sadness, sorrow, disappointment, grief, shock, and fear. And yet on that resurrection morning, it all changed. Now for us here, as we live our lives, we do not know when our Christ will return, but we still live lives without fear. No more fear of living. In a world under the influence, the growing influence of pagan gods and entities, there also should be no more fear of the forces of darkness, of the devil, nor of the demonic realm. We know 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, John wrote, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. But for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." We know that familiar verse in 1 John 4, verse 4, "Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world." In coming weeks, we want to talk about this a little bit more here from time to time in our preaching series that we're looking at, about how we are free from the demonic and the devil's schemes in our lives because we stand in the truth of who Jesus Christ is. I conclude this message with one last thought. There is only one fear now that we need to live in, and that is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. That's the only fear you and I need to ever be concerned about. And it's not a fear of dread or a fear of judgment, but it's a fear that is deep reverence and awe and worship, a fear of willing obedience and service, a fear that is like a treasure by which we can stand in boldness and courage. Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." Proverbs 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. And so this morning, the revelation, or the resurrection of Jesus, the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the validation of our faith. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith also is empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he then did not raise up, in fact, if the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen, and our faith is futile, and we are still in our sins. But the Apostle Paul brings that argument to a clear conclusion in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by Jesus, the man, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, on this Easter morning, I want to encourage you with my heart. And even as I have spent time just looking at these scriptures and praying through them myself, I want to encourage you, do not let fear in any form grip you this morning. Do not let fear of the past, fear of the present, or fear of the future hold you in any way. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sin, he has defeated the devil, and he has risen from the dead, and he is coming soon. If you don't know Jesus in a personal way like this morning, can I encourage you, begin the journey. Begin the journey by opening your heart to the Lord. Begin the journey by letting the Word of God speak to you. And begin the journey by taking that step of faith of saying, I maybe don't understand it all, Lord, but I am ready to receive the gift of forgiveness that Jesus Christ gave for me on the cross. And I want to follow the Lord and be afraid of nothing but you alone, O Lord God. So, Father, thank you for this truth, these truths, these scriptures this morning. May we be fearless people in these days in which we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus, that, Lord, our lives might glorify you to the glory of God, we ask it. Amen. I invite our worship team to come back for one last song here.